Thank you, girls. They're awesome. I appreciate them. I love this band as well. Let's give it up for my man on the keys over here. This is Lucas, first time playing Sunday morning. He crushed it. Thank you, buddy, for that. Well, good morning. Welcome. You know him? Yeah. You got a fan down here. I love it. Well, good morning, guys. Happy Sunday. Man, that was a great opening worship set. Man, just this team, so powerful, and I'm so thankful for them helping us kind of just get ready and prepare our hearts and our minds for the Word. I'm kind of excited about today's message. We've been in our series Unmasked for about 7 weeks now, and we've run the gamut on a lot of different topics, and it's been amazing. And today we're closing it out before we kick off a new series next week. And today we're going to kind of talk about Kairos being unmasked. And I want to share just some updates about what we've been doing as a church, what we're going through, and what's coming. But I'm really excited about our series that's beginning next week. And the series is titled You Mad Bro? The reason I'm excited about it is because we're going to be kind of taking a deep dive into a better understanding of God's anger, of his wrath, and of his judgment, and what that looks like in our lives, and how that relates to our lives and our anger as well. It's not going to be a series that you want to miss. So make sure that you join us next week as we kick off You Mad Bro. It's going to be awesome. Now, let's dive into today. I want to share about Kairos. And really, I want to talk through just getting to who we are as a church and really making sure that we don't ever lose sight of that. Our vision for Kairos Church is that we want to help everyone embrace Jesus in every moment of their life. That's what we want to do. That's what we set out to do over 4 years ago. That we believe that Jesus... Man, when in our lives, we know that we're not, you know, with him in our lives, not everything's going to be perfect, but everything will be better because he's in our lives. Especially when we take every moment, whether at church or at home or at work or wherever we're at, when we bring him into every moment that we are experiencing, those moments will be better. And as we come together as a church, whether it be on Sunday morning or maybe it's a group or maybe it's one of our team nights, man, we are equipping ourselves and we are learning and growing in him so that we can go out and be Jesus to everyone, because we know that there are people around us that don't have the hope that we have found in him. And so that's who we are as a church. That's what we want to do every single moment, help people, including ourselves, embrace Jesus in every moment. Now, our name Kairos, and maybe the unique name drew you to our church, and maybe you looked it up, and maybe you were curious about what it meant. It's a Greek word that means an opportune time, God's opportune moment. It's those moments that really matter, right? It's not time that you can measure, but it's those moments in life that are important, that are crucial. It's those moments in our lives when God comes through and does something miraculous. This term Kairos, you can see it all throughout the Bible, but two of the scriptures that we find it in is Ephesians 5:16, and it just simply says, make the most of every opportunity, make the most of every moment, whether you're in church, whether you're at school, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're driving in your car, make the most of every opportunity. In Colossians 4:5 is very similar. And it says, be wise in the way you act with people who are not believers, making the most of every opportunity. And there are people around us every single day who maybe know that we're a Jesus follower, know that we love Jesus, and are looking to us for hope. And it's so important and so crucial for us that we make sure that we share that hope with them in our words, in our actions, and in our reaction. So we never want to lose sight of who we are. And maybe you've wondered about Kairos and about our vision and about what we're trying to do. Well, that is it. We're helping everyone embrace Jesus in every moment of their life. Over the last year, and maybe you would say the same, we've kind of been in survival mode, guys. We went from operating in the school and, man, seeing growth there and getting kicked out and being homeless. And we were homeless for a while and we were online, and man, miraculously, we were able to connect with this space and still continue to do online. And we began to buy chairs and renovate. And eventually, we got to having services in person. But all of it was in survival mode because we didn't know what was happening next. We didn't know if we, you know, what quarantine was going to look like. We didn't know if we were going to be sick or if someone was going to be sick. And so we were just trying to survive, just like you, through all of the unknowns that the pandemic brought. But I think now, and it's probably been happening for a while now, we've moved past survival mode and we are now in growth mode, right? I mean, people are coming back. People are hungry for the word. People are hungry for Jesus. People need hope, and the only place that they can find real hope is the local church. And so we've seen that, and we've seen that in some people who maybe have been online, and they're coming back in service. And if you're online right now, man, we're so glad that you are with us. But we're no longer in survival mode. We're in growth mode, and if we're in growth mode, that means we got some work to do. We got to go after it. And in the midst of going after it, man, we never want to lose sight of who Kairos is at its core, that we want to make the most of every opportunity that we have. Let me share some of the wins from this past series, which kind of is why I say we're in growth mode. During our Unmasked series, we did a lot of cool things. One of the cool things, every time I walk through here, I get to see this big banner in the back that says Jesus Unmasked My, and every week something new pops up on there, and so we've left it up. And man, if you haven't taken a moment to read some of the things that people have shared on there, take some time after service to see that, to see what Jesus has helped people overcome or move past fear, anxiety, unforgiveness, addiction, pride, selfishness, and there's so many other ones. And so during our series, that's what Jesus has helped people do. You know, during Easter 2 weeks ago, I talked about denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following him, really, really following him. Through this series, we talked about the difference between being a professing Christian and a practicing disciple. And so 2 weeks ago during Easter, I shared this already, and I'm going to keep sharing it, but 21 people came up here and dropped a self-mask that says, I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to start living for Jesus. 21 people, man, either rededicating or giving their life to Jesus for the very first time. That's a big deal, right? God is moving and working and transforming. And I don't know if you know this or not, but when God gets a hold of someone's heart, man, miraculous things begin to happen. Not only in their life, but in their family's lives and in their relationships and even in the local church. Last week, we got to celebrate 5 baptisms, which is absolutely phenomenal. Just some really, really cool stories. And I look back and, I mean, even in the midst of all of this, in the last 6 months, we've been able to baptize 10 people. And so even in survival mode and now growth mode, man, God is working. God is moving. God is transforming lives. From January to today, back in January, we were averaging about 60 adults. Last week, we had 120. Okay, so you understand what's happening. There's this growth that's taking place. Man, God is working and God is moving. During this series alone, we've had 70 VIPs. That means 70 new people came and visited Kairos for the very first time to check out what God is doing, because God is working and moving. You're talking about it. People are hearing about it, and they want to know about the hope that they can find right here. And so that's amazing. And just there's so many cool things that are happening within our church, and so I'm sensing this time of growth. Anyone ever had growing pains when they were growing up? Anyone ever suffer with that? They are the worst, okay? I had them. I had to go see like a masseuse, and like it was bad for me. But you know what that means is there are going to be growing pains, and there's going to be some difficult times and rearranging and figuring things out. But if you keep pressing through, if you get involved, if you bring other people around you, man, you can work through those growing pains and see even greater things. And that's what we are experiencing right now. We are in growth mode, and I'm excited about it. Are you excited about it, Kairos Church, about what God's got next for us? So we're in growth mode, and I'll tell you, the building brought about some growth for us, some things that we couldn't do. If you're new with us, maybe you're here new for the first time, or maybe in the last few weeks, before we found this building, we were meeting out of a school. We were a portable church for about 2.5-3 years, and we were meeting at Chain of Lakes Elementary School, and there was setup and there was teardown, and we were limited in what we could do in the time that we had, and so we get into this building, and now, man, we can do more, and we can operate in greater ways. And I was just thinking about this for our student ministry movement, who meets on Wednesday nights. Man, bless their heart. I'll tell you what, the Movement Student Ministry used to meet out of the music room at Chana Lakes Elementary School, guys. And then we eventually moved into the cafeteria, but it was work. And people would get off work and rush over to the school and put up pipe and drape and set up games, and they do all this stuff. And then, you know, parents would start dropping their kids off, and they would squeal out and be like, see ya, and they did work. But now we have our own space, and they can come in here and they can invest in these kids, and they can spend time with them, you know, before and after. And man, God's been working and moving. And while we did have to say goodbye to our good friend Zach Varney, we got to say hello to our new youth ministry director, Aurelis, and she spoke for the first time. Yeah. She spoke for the first time this past Wednesday and absolutely crushed it, okay? And it's exciting, and there's growth there, and just seeing these kids in the groups and bringing on new leaders to Movement. I'm just so excited about what we can continue to do because we have this building. I think about a ministry we were able to start right here in the front of our building. Well, they use some of them more, but our young adult ministry is one that we kicked off at the beginning of the year, and I believe that's because... Yeah, because of this space. Shout out to Megan and Austin who helped lead that team. And there are so many others who help as well. But that's been such an amazing ministry that we knew was necessary, but maybe one that might not have happened in the way that it's happening had we not had this building. One of the things that we also kicked off at the beginning of the year, and I talk about them frequently, is something we call team nights. You know, we used to do groups. And, you know, with COVID and everything, groups kind of fizzled out. And we said, you know what, that's fine. Let's move to doing something a little bit different. We call them team nights. So what those are is that if you are serving in a ministry, if you are a moment maker within a ministry, once a week, one of those teams will have what we call a team night. And you get together and you talk about ministry stuff and you talk about life and you get to eat and you get to play games. And, man, we're just growing together as a people in community, and we're growing together in our ministry, which is in turn growing who we are as a church so that we can go out and reach more people. I love our team nights that get to meet. If you haven't made it to one, if you haven't, I mean, I would encourage you the next time your team has a team night, get there. If you're interested in being part of a certain team and you see that they're having a team night, go. This isn't like an exclusive thing. Like, you can go and be a part of the team night and hang out with those people. We want to do that for you. And then what we do is we have something once a month called All Team Night, where we get everyone together and we have food and we fellowship and we play games and we have a good time encouraging and building each other up. And so we have an All Team Night coming up. I believe it's on May 2nd. And I would encourage you to come join us for that. Something else that's really cool. Two really cool things about this building, and I talk about them all the time. If you don't know, Kairos is very big into foster care, and we partner with a ministry called Echo Ministries. And what they do is they help provide tangible needs for children who come into care. They get clothes, they get shoes, bathroom items, you know, just the stuff that they need when they come into care. Because if you know anything about foster care, most of the time these kids don't come with a lot. They might have a bag full of their favorite things, but other than that, they don't have a lot. And so Echo allows them and their families to come into this, it's like a shop, you know, it's like you would go into a store and just get to go and shop, and it's all for free, and it's amazing. And they have a few shops throughout Polk, Hardy, and Highlands County, but with this building, we are actually going to be opening an Echo Winter Haven shop right in the back upstairs room. And so that's going to allow us, yeah, you can cheer for that. It's going to allow us to partner with them and really support and bring about awareness for the foster care ministry. One of our very own, Steph Gladura, she is going to be the director of that shop. And they've been working hard and painting and doing some stuff. They're getting ready to pull up the floor. And so we should see that thing open within the next month or two. And I'm really, really excited about that. And then the other part of Echo Shop is the Echo Coffee House. Anyone excited about Echo Coffee? Again, if you're new, if you don't know about it, so, you know, that whole front area, we do coffee, we do donuts, and that's all free to you. And what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to open up a coffee shop during the week where we, you know, we sell, you know, the good stuff and have a place where people can come and get coffee and have community. But the biggest thing about Echo Coffee House is that we will also be providing financial support to Echo Ministries so that they can keep doing what God has called them to do, and we want to come alongside them and do that. Echo Coffee House, man, we have slated that to open by the end of the month, and we're looking to do a soft opening the last week of this month, and then do a grand opening in May. So be looking for those dates. We want you guys to come and hang out with us, and we need your help. If you're wanting to volunteer at the coffee house, we would love that. You can just write Echo Coffee on a Next Steps card. We have a Kickstarter going on. We're trying to raise money for the funds to do some of the things that we need to do in order to get this thing kicked off. But we would love for you to partner with us in an Echo Coffee House. Anyway, the building has allowed us to experience growth all in and of itself. So we're in growth mode. And, you know, the growth is going to continue, and we believe that. And here's the thing, it's going to continue for us if we're preparing for it. Growth will continue if we're expecting it. Growth continues when we're doing everything in our power in anticipation of it. But if we don't expect it, we won't experience it. And if we aren't prepared for the growth, we will actually hinder it. So we're experiencing growth. And as Uncle Ben said from Spider-Man, with great growth comes great responsibility. Okay, I changed it a little bit, okay? I know it's great power, but with great growth comes great responsibility. And it's our responsibility as a body of believers, man, to get involved in the things that God is doing, to get involved in the mission and in the vision of this church that He has orchestrated and allowed to be right here in this place. So I want to share two responsibilities that we all have. If you call Kairos Church your home church, let me just preface this. If you're here for the first time or the second time and you're not sure yet if this is your home church, or maybe you're just visiting, or you're just trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing, man, just soak it all in. And know that I am talking to, you know, more of the people that have been here for a little bit and maybe are wanting to call Kairos Church their home and just haven't taken that step. So two responsibilities. The first responsibility is in volunteering. Now, you may have heard this phrase or seen the shirts. They just simply say moment maker. And our moment makers are just a fun term that we use for our volunteers. And what we say is that you are a moment maker. Wherever you're at, in serving in our ministry, you are making moments happen with people, right? You matter, they matter, and what you're doing is making moments matter. And again, it goes back to our vision, it goes back to our name, it goes back to Ephesians 5:16. We're going to make the most of every opportunity that we have right here. So we call them moment makers. Now, I was looking back at this. Again, I said, you know, kind of survival mode, and everything kind of got flipped upside down, but I looked back to February, January of last year to see how many moment makers we have. And on any given week because we did set up and we did tear down and we did movement, and then we had our two services. Within all of that, during the week, we had about 100, a little bit over 100 moment makers serving every single week. And that's amazing, okay? And I love that. But now, you want to know where we're at? We're at a little bit around 50. And so we're operating at half capacity. See, growth is happening, but we may not have the moment makers that we need in order to, man, be prepared and be ready for it. And I say all that to say that we, as a church, we are on the cusp of needing to do two services again. But we can't do two. I mean, we could do two services with the amount of moment makers that we had right now, but I think the kids ministry would quit and just be done. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'd be like, ah, we're good. We'll find some other church to go to. I get it. But we need more people to step up and step into serving and begin to be champions of Kairos Church. And so, you know, maybe for you, because of certain things and because of the pandemic, because you were also in survival mode, and I get it, hear me out. I completely understand. Maybe for you, you haven't served in over a year, but you're back and you're ready. I would say get plugged in again. If you were serving on a specific team and you haven't served in over a year, but you're ready, man, contact that your team leader or your director and let them know. Or maybe you're like, you know what, I enjoy that, but I want to try something else. Let us know that you're ready to get back involved. You can take out your Next Step card and just write, ready to serve again. Let us know what team you were on, or you know, whatever it may be. Just say, I'm ready to dive back into serving. Or you can contact your leader directly. But if you haven't served in over a year, I want to encourage you, man, start serving again. You're here, you're back, and man, God is doing stuff, and he's moving, and so I would encourage you to do that. And maybe you're here today, and you've been coming to Kairos for the last 3 weeks, or 2 months, or maybe the last 5 months, and you've never taken that step to get involved in serving, or to really officially call Kairos Church your home church. Can I encourage you today? We have what we call Moment Maker Training. It's a one-hour training after service where we go through the history and the vision and the values of our church. We talk about what that means for you, and we talk about where you can get plugged in and involved and use your God-given gifts to serve the local church. And I would encourage you today, if you haven't gone through Moment Maker Training, go through Moment Maker Training. If for anything, we provide lunch. You can get free food, okay? And that, you know, that always gets people. I was telling someone the other day, like, when me and my wife at our last church, they had something very similar, and the only reason that we stopped in that room is because they had free food. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just who we are as a people. And it was like service went a little long and we were hungry, so why not? But I would encourage you, if you've never gone through Moment Maker Training and you want to know more about the church and you want to commit to being an owner of this church and get involved, Moment Maker Training is happening today. So the first responsibility is in our volunteering. The other thing, just let me talk about two services real quick. I kind of mentioned that, and we for Easter we did two services, but we did one as a family service, and we didn't have a kids ministry, and that's great, and that's awesome, and we're doing that so that our kids ministry workers can get into service because they don't get to every single week. But that's not something that we want to keep sustaining. We want to be able to offer two services and offer kids ministry for both services, so that if you show up at the 9 o'clock and you're expecting kids ministry, we have kids ministry. But let me talk about why I say we're on the cusp of needing two services. There's two reasons behind this. Seating capacity and kids capacity. Now let me talk about seating capacity really quick. So we have about approximately 200 chairs in this room. And like I said, we're averaging about 120 adults, which puts us at 60% full. Now you get up to 160 adults, you're at 80% full. And now If you know anything about growth and anything, like, when you get to start 80% full, you get to this place where, like, the perceived comfort capacity is at its max. If people come in here right now and they look around and there are chairs spotted all over the place, you've done this. You're like, I don't know where to sit. I'm going to go to my car, sit in my car, and start my car and leave. Because we get uncomfortable a little bit about, you know, having to kind of squeeze in and sit next to somebody, and maybe they're saving a seat and we don't know, and like we would opt just to stand in the back corner. And you don't want to stand while I'm up here talking and ranting and raving for however long I'm ranting and raving. And so like there's this, at 80%, people start getting to a place where like if it looks too full and I don't have a place to sit, I'm going somewhere where it doesn't look too full and I'm going to go sit there. And so, like, it's a real thing, I've watched some of y'all come in and other people come in, and I've seen this take place, and I've done it as well. So it's a real thing. But here's the real truth. While 80% is typically the norm, because of COVID, it's probably more like 60 to 65%. We want more space. And we all love that buffer seat, right? Like, I need a seat here for my donuts and my coffee. I need a seat here for my Bible and my other things. And then I need, like, another seat so no one sits next to my things. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need a whole row, okay? Well, Pastor, we all need our own row, okay? I want my name on that row, and no one else can sit in my row. And so, like, we get that way, you know what I'm saying? And you guys laugh because that's what you've been thinking sometimes. You're like, yeah, I got that, and I got that. And you're like, reserve, reserve, reserve. And with COVID, it's even more, right? Because, you know, you look around, don't look around right now, but like, they got COVID. I don't want to sit next to them. You know what I'm saying? 6 feet, right? You're like, get away from me. Don't sit next to me. And so with COVID, that seating capacity has gotten down even more. And so if we say 60 to 65%, going back to what I already shared with you, we are already at capacity. And so for some of us, you know, a lot of us, really, if we come in and we see that this room is more than 50% full, and we don't know people, and like, think about this for a VIP. They don't know anybody. They don't know who's actually sick. They don't know, you know, what kind of church this is and what they believe and who's going to, like, talk to them or touch them or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You get weirded out. And you're like, I need at least 5 seats. There aren't 5 seats, so I'm going to go. And so it's a big deal. Seating capacity, it does matter. and we're kind of we're right there. And it's not this thing where you want to, okay, now we're at 80% and we should do something about it. No. You got to do it before you get there. Otherwise, the growth you were going to experience never happens. Because people may come 1 week but never come back because they didn't feel comfortable sitting down because there weren't enough seats. And so while that's a great problem, it's one we can take care of by adding another service. Now regarding kids, 2 weeks ago during Easter, during our 10:30 service, we had 60 kids in our kids' ministry. One classroom had 20. Can I tell you what classroom that was? Pre-K kindergarten. Yeah, you know what kind of fun was going on there, you know what I'm saying? And that's wild. And so this is something we experienced before. And this was kids' ministry was one of the main reasons why we went to two services in the first place over 2 years ago, is because our kids' ministry was averaging 70 kids a week, one service. And they were losing their ever-loving minds, okay? Because it's no longer kids' ministry when you got 15, 20 kids per service. It's like, you know, it's like a zoo. Like, you're just trying to keep them all caged in and, like, throwing food at them and stuff and just trying to keep them happy. You can't even teach Jesus to them. And so, like, that's one of the biggest things. We don't ever want it to just be kid wrangling. We want to make sure that our teachers and our moment makers can invest in these kids and love on these kids and teach these kids about Jesus. But they can't do it when they're over capacity and there's 20 kids in a classroom. And so this is one of the other main reasons why, man, we were on the cusp of needing two services. And really, and I've said this before too, the other reason about two services is we want to be able to offer two services so that our kids' ministry workers can sit in one service and serve in the other. Because we want to make sure that they are also getting fed and getting to worship every single week. So, if you haven't served in a while, start serving again. If you've never served, if you've never gone to Moment Maker training, I would encourage you, go through Moment Maker training. Now, let me just share really quickly. I asked the team just some ministry needs. And here's what I'll say to you. If we're talking about growth, whatever ministry you are called to, whatever gifting you have, I would tell you to go into that one. But let me share some needs that we currently have right now. On the worship team, we are in need of drummers and bassists. We are currently, like, this is a kind of a new thing. We have our Brotherhood Men's Ministry that meets once a month, and we just got that kicked back up, and it's a lot of fun, and we've been talking about that and doing that, and I've had like 500 women say, well, where's the women's ministry? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm a man. So I don't know if I said that exactly, but there's been a lot of talk and a lot of questions about women's ministry and starting that up, and so we've been working through starting what we're calling a sisterhood women's ministry, and we still need a leader. We need someone to lead that ministry, but in the meantime, we wanted to do something for you all, so we do have the first ever sisterhood women's ministry event. I think they'll have an image up on the screen. It's coming up at the end of the month. It is a partnership with Women's of Compassion and One More Child. They are doing something called a simulcast live event. So we are opening up our church for the women's ministry to come in here 6 to 8, have some food, have some fellowship, and they'll be able to watch and enjoy and talk about what's going on there. So I'd encourage you, if you've been wanting the women's ministry to happen, to get connected with more women, man, come and join us on April 30th. Well, not me. I won't be here because I'm a man, remember? And 6 to 8 p.m. Women's ministry. We need help with cleaning the building every single week. We need camera, light, and lyric operators. We need kids ministry, team leaders, and teachers. We need some greeters. We need more people on VIP. And those are just some of the needs that we have. And we have many areas in which you can get plugged in. So I'd encourage you, find one, get plugged in so that we can be prepared for the next level of growth that we have. The other growth responsibility that we have, I said we had two. The other growth responsibility that we have is financial. It's financial. Now, we were blessed by this building, guys. I mean, I tell people all the time, it's an absolute miracle that we are here. I tell people all the time that if COVID doesn't happen, we're not in here. God led us to this place. God provided us this place. It's been an amazing blessing for sure. But with this building comes greater financial responsibility. Let me just share that with you. When we were at the school, our monthly lease just flat was $2,200, and it was amazing, and it was so great that we were able to do that. In the building right now, with utilities and supplies and the lease, we were at $4,800 a month. So it's more than doubled for us. And it's a big deal for us. We're still a young church. We're still a growing church. We just survived through a pandemic, and we lost some steam. Let me share something though with you that I am absolutely blown away by, as it comes to this church. Our giving in 2020, y'all's giving, y'all's generosity, y'all's obedience to keep giving, absolutely blew me away. And here's why it blew me away, because I read your prayers. And I knew the things that you were going through. And I knew the financial strain that you were going through. I was going through it as well. But regardless of that, you continued to give. And I tell people all the time, some of my other church, my pastor friends, I'm like, man, our giving kind of just stayed the same. It took a little dip, but it mostly stayed the same because you guys were faithful and obedient. And I am so thankful for you guys. And I just give praise to God for how he provided through the last year. So thank you. Give it up for yourself right now for doing that. Y'all didn't waver. Back in August, we did something called the Risk It for the Biscuit campaign. And was anyone here for the Risk It for the Biscuit campaign? It was really fun, and what we knew we needed to do is that there was a lot that needed to be done in the building. We knew that at the time, for us, what was coming in and what was going out, we couldn't handle the monthly lease. So the Risk It for the Biscuit campaign, we did this whole series, and we made this pledge about being able to do some of the renovations and get some of the things that we need to get done here and buy supplies and all that stuff. And you guys all pledged about $37,000. It was a year-long campaign where over the next year, we're gonna give above and beyond our tithe so that we can do all that we can in this building and thrive within the building. And so there was $37,000 pledged. And to date, we have received $15,000 of that. And it's been so phenomenal and so helpful. It has helped us continue to operate. It has helped us to, man, get some things in here that we knew we needed to get for our ministries. But at the same time, we are still in need of that other $22,000 to keep this thing going. So what I'll say really quick, and I'll probably mention this again at the end, if you pledge to the Risk It for the Biscuit campaign, I would encourage you, man, continue to go after that and give towards that. If you weren't here and you'd love to give towards that campaign, all you got to do is on the tithe envelope, you can write Risk It for the Biscuit on there, or you can go online and go to our giving page, and there's still a section there about the Risk It for the Biscuit campaign. But this is another one of our responsibilities. We love this space, and we love being in this space, and we love what God is allowing us to do in this space, but it's all of our responsibility to make it happen every single week. So, we need moment makers to be church champions through serving, and we also need church champions through giving. If you've remained faithful with giving, awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. Keep it up. If you haven't kept up with your Risk It for the Biscuit pledge, man, start giving to it again. If you've never given, if you've never tithed any percent or given any percentage, I would encourage you today, man, pray about it and take that bold step of faith and start giving to this ministry, man, that I'm guessing has meant something to you or your family member or to your child. And man, help us continue to do what God is calling us to do. Help us continue to grow and to step into what is next. Take on that responsibility. Take on the responsibility to continue helping people embrace Jesus in every moment of their life, to help people break addiction, to help people step out of fear and anxiety, to be free from their shame and their guilt. Man, take on the responsibility to help reconcile relationships, whether it's a marriage or a friendship or maybe a daughter and a mother or a father and a son. Take on that responsibility to help teach children about Jesus. Man, all of us have a part to play within the local church. And I've already said this, if you're new to Kairos or if you're new to faith, man, take your time. Ask questions. Get to know about us. I would say don't feel pressured about some of the things that I'm saying. But know this, the best way to find out about a thing is to get involved with that thing. And to really start looking and doing and working and just interacting with the people and entering into community. If you've been attending, if you have a relationship with Jesus and you haven't served, serve again. Maybe for whatever reason, your giving has stopped, start giving again. If you haven't yet, man, commit to making Kairos Church your church home. I want to encourage every single one of you to become a Kairos Church champion today. Why? Because growth is happening. And I wonder today, will you choose to be a part of it? Would you guys bow your heads and pray with me? God, we are blown away by you and your providence and your leading and your guiding. It's no coincidence, God, that we are here in this place worshiping you. You orchestrated all of it, from leading my family to Auburndale and Winter Haven, to landing us in the Channel Lakes Complex and Channel Lakes Elementary School, God, even to COVID. You knew. You knew before Irma, you knew before COVID, you knew, God, that you had something great planned right here. Right here in this space. You knew that one day people would be in this building getting baptized. You knew that one day 21 people would say, today I deny myself and I take up my cross and I follow you. God, you knew the whole time. God, and we are thankful to be on this journey with you. God, my prayer right now for our church is that as we step into what you're doing in the growth that you're bringing, God, that you would allow us to answer the call to step in and be a part of what you're building, because what you're building is your kingdom. God, that you would help us answer the call to be moment makers. Not just in the sense of being a moment maker at Kairos, God, but be a people who embraces your son in every moment of their life. All in an effort. So that those who don't know you can get to see a glimpse of you through us. And they may come to know you through this church, through the message of your gospel. That I'm praying for the next season that you have for us. I'm praying for leaders to rise up. I'm praying for people to start giving. I'm praying for people to be obedient in their faith, to take those bold steps, to say, you know what? I'm not really sure what this is going to mean for me, or how much time or how much resources this is going to mean, but I am giving it over to God, believing that he knows what he is doing. God, allow us to be a people that steps into your calling so that we can keep building your church right here. In our community, let us be people who make moments happen for your son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.